Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He was safe.
No,
he was out.
You're siding with the original call.
No, he was out.
Now, it was a very complicated situation for Rocco to go nuts because he's screaming at two guys who actually called the guy out.
Right.
You know? So, and Jordan Baker, who's a wild-ass egomaniac umpire, big old guy, I've seen him work, made the determination back in New York, was the umpire.
And in his post-game, that's who Rocco went after, not the guys on the field.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But he has to scream at somebody, yes.
Right.
But that rule is so vague that there was a play he made last week, Sanchez, that I thought that the other team didn't appeal. They'd already blown
used
their
up their
appeal.
Challenge.
Yeah, their challenge. So they didn't appeal it. But I thought he was shaky on one last week that because I can't quite determine what they're saying. I think. One thing I read, there's this website that they interpret calls, you know, and I stumbled into it by accident. And they show the play, and then somebody comes on and explains it. And one thing they said about Sanchez is he was standing, when the guy was 20 feet away, he was standing in the middle of the plate. And then he moved to his right. And one thing they were suggesting is you can't do what he did before the play, you know, that
I can't
but
take
that's
it.
Not the way they gave the definition of what why they made the call. They said that he blocked the play, that the throw did not take him into the plate, so he should
but have had the original call been that Sanchez was blocking the plate, I don't think Rocco goes nuts. I think it's merely because they overturned that call in that spot.
Yes, yeah.
What's he supposed to do?
He is supposed to. Now, the guy, Merrifield made a good play. He slid right into him instead of sliding away. There might have been a little bit of space. You're supposed to leave half the plate for the base runner now, ever since Buster Posey. You're supposed to. Actually, it was about 3 years later that they passed that rule.
Right.
By the way.
It was 2014.
Yeah, I thought the object was to knock the ball out of the catcher's glove.
No, we got rid of that because
we
don't want collisions at the plate. Oh. We don't want Pete Rose running over Ray Fosse.
Or Torrey Hunter taking apart the Chicago White Sox catcher.
We don't want that anymore. And
I do. I want that.
When they first started off, they were making some of the worst calls. If you were standing in front of a plate and a guy was 25 feet away, they'd call him safe, even though you had the ball.
Right.
So then they changed it to you have to give them a lane, and you're not supposed to, but you can go wherever the ball takes you. Mm-hmm. And it was very iffy, to say the least. But, you know, I think it depends about what umpire you get in New York. If you get some guy who's there just to eat pizza and not bother anybody, they would have stuck with the call. But Baker's kind of the guy that likes to get his name out there and he wants to make a
pathetic
call.
It was
Joe West. He was being Joe West. But
I'm glad Rocco went nuts, too.
I am, too. But I'm glad I can see why it happened. Because Sanchez, stay away from the plate. Get away from there until the throw comes in. You cannot be running around in front of the plate like he was for when the runner's 30 feet away. Get off the plate and then come on back into it and catch it. So I can see how the call got made, but I don't. Necessary. I don't agree with it.
I don't agree with it.
There was one wacky Twitter user that had retweeted both the play and then a still shot of Rocco going nuts and said, this is called payback for sitting Correa and Buxton, Rocco. You know, it's some ticket buyer that got mad because both Buxton and Correa weren't playing yesterday.
Well, I don't believe that's true, is it?
No, they were both not in the lineup yesterday.
Oh, but okay, Buxton ended up, I guess, pinch hit.
I think he came in at
he batted,
but they were both not in the lineup.
Okay. I think that I think that this is the greatest thing that ever happened to Rocco with the public, though.
100%.
Because we worry about his level of passion.
Right.
Now, I think he selected the wrong animal to describe the call.
Mm-hmm.
If he had described it as horse bleep,
right,
he probably wouldn't get as severe of suspension as he's going to get for calling it chicken bleep.
Right.
Because chicken bleep means you're gutless, right?
Yes.
Right.
You're calling the umpires gutless.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you call them stupid, you're better off than calling them gutless.
Okay, well, puzzle
right?
me this. Did the umpires present have any ability to overrule New York?
No. Once New York makes that call, it's the umpires... Until this year, we're making the call, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guy's on the field.
And they did this,
they
Joe.
Look in the little...
Pat can correct me if I'm wrong, but they did this in an effort to protect the umpires at the game. Yeah.
No, I think they did it just to make it quicker, allegedly, right?
Yeah.
First of all, they were showing it to him on a little...
laughing at.
They were showing it to him on an iPad, basically, and having to make the call. In New York, he got all of...
You got all the different angles
the different
and whatnot.
Angles. You know what? Here's what the problem is, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Replay.
Well, no kidding.
We should have never gone into replay.
Don't do any football
stuff. We could have stopped it when we looked to see whether it was a home run or not. That was good. That was good enough. We didn't need any other replay.
Yeah.
But TV wants replay because that makes TV important.
What were you morons laughing about?
Well, this rule was, it came because... legendary catcher for the San Francisco Giants, Buster Posey, was hurt in a collision, with a Marlins outfielder way back when.
It knocked him out for an entire two. They were the defending champs in 2010, right?
Was something like that,
And he got
2012,
and then the next year he got mauled?
Yes.
Next year he got mauled, so...
So, and then he got the rule in 2014.
Correct. Yeah. And we were listening to a Buster Posey highlight.
This is the great John Miller.
Swinging. There's a high drive deep into left center field. It's on its way. Adios! Pelota! A grand slam for Buster Posey's good friend, Hunter Pence.
His good friend what?
Hunter, he called the wrong guy hitting the home run.
Oh, my God.
Buster Posey. Buster Posey, good friend. the greatest on the run.
Wow, what a correction.
John Miller, the greatest on the run.
Put him back on Sunday Night Baseball, please.
He was great.
Who did it last night?
It's Carl Ravitch, is it not?
Yeah, I think so.
And John Kruk?
I did not watch last night's game.
Oh, Padres Dodgers, Patrick. Yeah, come on.
The all new Padres got their comeuppance, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah, but I hope those Red Sox those Dodgers aren't that cocky because they got the Twinks coming to town. Potent lineup for 2 days. I knew they shouldn't have worried about pitching and they should have gotten some hitting, right?
No kidding.
This lineup, man alive, everybody hurt.
So we got Buck 2 days rest now because they don't play tonight. So they didn't put him in the lineup yesterday.
And they don't play today. Yeah. And there's rumors I was hearing from Provis. I got reading between the lines. There's a possibility Buck doesn't play in L.A. and then they end up having him like a 4-day hunk off.
You're
to rest the knee.
Me.
Now, I'm not, he didn't,
God,
he didn't
me.
Say that.
I can't take this.
But, well, they're draining the knee. There's something wrong. It's bad. It's bad.
Is it inflammation? Is that what he has?
It's underneath the kneecap. There's stuff in there. And it swells up and he gets fluid and he gets drained. And, last time they drained it, he missed two games, but then he came back and played a lot. He played, like 10 out of 11 games or something. And now
including the All-Star game.
Didn't respond as well this time. So, the All-Star game, too. That's right. But The one that's interesting is, did you see what they're doing to Kirilloff?
Oh, boy.
Wrist surgery?
He's shut down for the year.
Yes, but they're shortening the ligament.
So
the bone, the stuff that's supposed to keep the bone from hitting the bone.
Yeah.
Is gone. It's whatever it is that's supposed to, in the wrist, whatever.
I'm feeling my wrist and I don't know.
The cartilage in the wrist.
Yeah.
Is gone. It's shot.
He has no cartilage in his
wrist. It was shot. It last year injury. But so now, maybe they're shortening the bone. I don't know. They're shortening something so they don't hit
each
other.
They're not going to take out what keeps the bone from hitting the bone. They'll shorten a bone.
Yes, they're shortening. What prevents the bone from hitting the other bone is gone. Mm-hmm. So I think they're shortening something in there. Sounds like a pretty radical procedure.
I think so.
Especially for a hitter.
Yes, especially for a wrist hitter.
Yes.
A guy that, you know, it's that classic wrist swing.
So he's never going to play again.
No, he's pretty well done.
Oof.
The big first baseman, we're never going to see him again. So that's true.
You think this is the end of Kirilloff?
Oh, no, he'll be back. But whether
he's talking about Sano,
whether Kirilloff is ever what we hoped he would be, because that guy can hit, man.
He was highly touted. That's a shame.
He could hit. He's had his moments. I mean,
do you like the closer that they got from
Baltimore?
I do
like the closer. Yeah. The other night, it was a little bit of a long, laborious event, and then the bloop hit with kind of tied the game, but I do like the closer. But what was amazing to me is Rocco, after he threw 30 pitches, was willing to go back to him next night.
Yeah.
So he wanted that win bad.
He's got the goofy walk-in music, too. He's got the spooky, theatrical deal.
He looks like somebody from an extra in the movie Deliverance.
Well,
he looks a little, you know, hillbilly.
Jorge?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I've grown up with too many hillbillies to think he looked like that. But anyway. Here's something what I want to ask you, though. Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk baseball, you have a topic. Because something happened yesterday.
I'll say.
Right. That's baseball. When you have baseball conversations during the course of the summer, it's based on something.
Yeah.
Substance. It's based on whether good, bad, indifferent, whatever. Today, I was happening to be in my rental vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And
because your real ones at Schoonover.
And I have my Schoonover, and they're gonna do a fine job. I have full confidence in them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, and Schoonover, by the way, this rental car had 1500 on the dial. So I'm listening to it. And they're having a big discussion on Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray and the difference in the problems they have. And I'm thinking, if I turn on their next show, they're going to be talking about the same thing. How often can you talk this off-season football? How often can you talk about the same crap? And that's your whole substance of every ESPN show. And they just beat the same topics to death bloody. They beat them bloody. How can you do that? Talk about something that happened.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Nothing has changed. But it hasn't stopped these morons from talking about it 7 hours a day.
My favorite is when you'll see the first take shows where we got to yell at each other and debate a topic, and you know they'll have the what's coming up, and it's always Cowboys in the AFC or in the NFC East. Where do we rank them?
Yeah, we did that yesterday.
It's May.
Yeah, we did that yesterday. Yeah, I was happening to, just out of curiosity, listening to them, and it wasn't a football show, but it's all they talked about was
football.
Was the training camp. Mm-hmm. Which nothing's happened. Nothing's happened.
Do the Vikes play this weekend?
No, I don't.
Sunday.
Do they?
Sunday at 3 o'clock,
I think. Oh, at Vegas?
Oh, yes.
At Vegas, huh?
Oh, how many How many deplorables?
I don't think we probably go out.
You don't think so?
Nah.
Okay. Not for a preseason.
Well, but this is the this is when the Viking fan says, wait a minute now. I can get in for $50 as opposed to $500 for a regular season game.
But then you go out there and you see Cousins for two series, right?
If you see him at all.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I didn't realize that we were going to play this week, but good luck to him.
Yeah.
And
then in Monday Night Sports Talk, we can give a full recap of the Sunday afternoon tilt in Vegas.
Are those exhibition games, are they on TV?
Yes.
Most of them are on TV.
Oh, hell yes.
They would be. That was a joke.
You want a letter, Antonio?
Yes.
Perhaps this should be saved and read on MNST. Well, I did save it for this, but I'll defer to your judgment. Perhaps I ought to have shared this tale a few weeks ago during the celebration of our newest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Back around the summer of 1990, I was 17. I was learning that none other than Tony Oliva was scheduled to make an appearance at my place of employment. I worked at a grocery store as a bag boy at Christie's Foods, located in the Sunray Shopping Center on St. Paul's East Side.
Sunray Shopping Center still there?
Yes.
All right.
You see, baseball legend was making appearances and signing autographs at local groceries for those who would also care to sample the delicious Cuban-style sausages whose packaging bore his name and likeness.
Really?
In the weeks and days leading to Mr. Oliva's visit, there was an excited buzz among the employees, especially for those of us who were big baseball fans. I remember planning to gift my father with an autograph as a surprise, knowing he would not have been available to come and see the former twin himself. It should not be understated that my dad grew up watching, or more likely listened to, the future Hall of Famer deliver hits for his hometown Twins, and therefore an item bearing Tonio's signature would have meant more to him than me. That day arrived. Tables and chairs were set up. The aisle in which Mr. Oliva was to conduct this spectacle was festooned with banners and decor. I, along with the other bag boys, clerks, cashiers, managers, and customers who arrived to meet their baseball hero, watched out the front door, bank of floor-to-ceiling windows to the parking lot for Tony's arrival. The time finally arrived. "There he is," someone shouted. As the guest of honor made his way from the parking spaces to the front door of the store, he had only need to cross the driving lane which ran along the storefronts. Just then, a tan and red Dodge conversion van came barreling from our left. The driver was speeding and distracted, not noticing that Mr. Oliva was at that moment stepping into the lane. Our guest stuttered his steps to try not to become roadkill, and the van's driver did finally see what must have been a blurred human image enough to jerk the steering wheel away while slamming the brake pedal, causing his tires to screech. The van never did fully stop, but merely recovered and continued to speed off. Inside, the panic felt by all who witnessed the most horrific scene turned to anger and vituperation directed at the now nowhere-to-be-seen driver of the 1983 Dodge Ram Van Mini conversion with a 225-cubic-inch slant six-cylinder engine and a four-speed manual transmission. Yes, I knew the particulars about this vehicle because I knew this vehicle as well as its driver. You see, my father, like others I could mention, was a bad waiter. As often was his custom, he would frequently use the Sunray Shopping Center parking lot as a shortcut getting home. It probably doesn't need to be said that he was not a good driver either. My part to play the rest of the day was to curse out that guy, whoever he may be, and not let on that I alone was the wiser. Later that evening, I called my dad at home. "I saw you today." "Where?" he replied. "Driving by the store," I said. "All right," he said. "I saw you almost hit a guy." "Yeah, did you see that idiot? He could have been killed," my dad said. "Do you know who that guy was?" I asked. "No." "Dad, that was Tony Oliva." After a long silence, "That was Tony O?" "Yes," came my reply. "You almost killed Tony O. Thank you for the time to tell this almost tragic story about the other Scott from Denver Grove."
We didn't get a right. We didn't get a review as to how the autograph went.
No, he was just glad his dad didn't kill Tony Oliva.
How did we lose Tony O in the Sunrise Shopping Center parking lot?
Dodge minivan conversion.
That would have been a bad way to go, man. Poor Tony.
I didn't know Tony had had the sausages named after?
I can't remember them. It must not have lasted long. Do you remember
them? I don't either, but I can tell you this. That is the best sandwich at Target Field.
Oh, the Cuban?
The Tony O. Cuban.
What is it?
Oh, it's a Cuban
sausage?
Sandwich.
Sausage?
Oh, it's
damn good. No. Ham and...
pickles.
Ham and pork, I think. Ooh,
it's damn good.
Yeah. The best Cuban sandwich I ever had was in a laundromat in Key West.
Really?
They had a lunch counter in this laundromat, and the wife and I were down there some 4 days, and, you know, I had some dirty clothes I had to go get washed.
Sure.
They drive me crazy. And they had a lunch counter in there. It was outstanding.
You've never been to Cuba, have you?
Nope. Boy, I'd love to go, but it's too late now. Where would I go? Can you walk over to that tree? No, I can't make her, you know, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, up the hill? Wait, Tony used to play up there. I can't get up the hill. I'm sorry.
What, didn't Major League Baseball go down there? Weren't you thinking about it? Didn't they do like an opening series?
Why do I have it in my head that you were in Cuba?
Well, the Twins played there, didn't they?
No.
They played in Puerto Rico.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Okay, that's what
Julian and the gang were going to go for their fourth trip. The old Save the Met guys who still go out and travel around. We're going to go for their fourth trip when the pandemic hit. I was thinking about going that time. Although I don't know about being around those weenies for that long, but they're kind of weird dudes, man. Weird.
Loskello.
Yeah,
name?
Julian Loskello.
Julian Loskello.
Yeah, I mean, I ran into them. They had 29 of them were there for Cooperstown.
Yeah, well, still they were.
Yep. Yeah. Including Marty. Marty Higgins.
Yeah.
Marty was overserved on...
maybe I'm thinking of a different Marty.
On Friday night.
Yeah.
I saw them. They were at the same hotel we were in Utica. And then we ended up at a room... being next to Marty's room.
Oh, boy.
Didn't know it was Marty, but I knew it was somebody from these guys that was screaming and hollering and doing Sid imitations at 2 a.m. in the next room. Yeah. And that turned out to be Marty. Yeah. So that was, you know, that alcohol do strange things to people.
Yes, it does.
Make them get up and
you got to get the white noise app for your phone to combat situations like that. That's the greatest invention
ever. I thought that rain would be white noise for me last night, and it kept me awake.
I told you what my white noise became. I told you guys.
I don't remember.
When I went and got the Roto-Rooter, you know, I was going to tape myself whizzing, and it was so enjoyable. After all those years, I said, "This
you're going to that was going to be your white noise.
That was going to be my white noise. God, this sounds good compared to what we went through all those years." So. The Roto-Rooter, when I thought they were going to take the whole thing out and ended up just having to go.
You just reminded me of something.
Yeah.
We had a game. Oh, God, this had to have been
month. This isn't a town ball story.
Oh, 100%. But I get to tell them when Pat's here. It was at least a month ago, if not 6 weeks ago. No, Joe, you'll actually like this. A lot of the umpires, by the way, that do town ball games love Monday Night Sports Talk. He comes out to me. I go out there to do the ground rules and whatnot. And so we shake hands. He says, "Hey, Reeves, come here." I said, "What's up?" He said, "Ricey really tried to drain his basement with a glass of water." Yeah. Or water glass is what he said.
For a while.
I said, "Hey, he finally get, you
know,
realized."
Well, then it dawned on you.
Yeah, after about 15 minutes, I said, "We got to have something larger that I could use."
He says, "Water glass?"
It was a tall water glass. It was a tall water glass.
Yeah, the excuses was a good glass.
Yes, well, I had no idea how fast that stuff came in.
Yeah.
The water.
Because you finally then went and got a pail.
I went and got a pan, a cooking pan.
Cooking pan.
Good size cooking pan, which is about all you could lift to get it into
that. That's true.
You guys would have paid to see me carrying the wobbly,
oh, God.
The big wobbly, whatever the hell it was, plastic thing that you, if you're having a party, you put a bunch of ice and beer in
it.
Oh,
yeah.
But you're carrying that up the steps like this.
Yeah, that's spilling water.
The fact that I didn't drop it on my head is a
miracle. Did you ever get the pump fixed?
Well, not yet. I'm going to get a generator.
Get around to it.
I'm going to get a generator, but I haven't gotten around to it yet.
I see.
I think the way to go is the generator.
Yeah.
The $2,000 generator.
I'm telling you what. That's got 30 for 30 written all over it. You saving the day, starting with the glass, then into the bucket.
Yes.
Into the...
Yes. And then with the then having to get up every hour and a half to press the button to keep it from, you know. Once Jay Grobstein came over and saved me and said, hey, did you ever try pressing any of these buttons? I tried pressing the one.
Why isn't it beeping?
I pressed the one that says go and nothing happened, you know. So didn't try the other two. I don't know. I guess I should have. So anyway. Boy, we could. I was hoping that we got more of a drencher though the last couple of days.
Got a
I
nice soaker last night.
Was it pretty good?
Yeah.
I don't think we're. I don't think there's anything in the forecast for another week.
No,
right?
There's not.
They got 4 inches southern part of the state. I've been told.
Did you watch? You didn't watch any of the Wyndham Championship, did you?
No, sir. Who ended up winning it?
One of the thousand Koreans were in the top 10.
This guy calls himself Dan, right? Yeah, it was. It's amazing.
It looked like the Korean Open.
So I had a long discussion. I had lunch today with your old pal, Harvey McKay.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey's back in town.
Not my pal.
Harvey had the bad COVID, man. No. He was laid up for quite a while.
Well, I hope he's all right.
But Harvey's very, he's spending time on this live thing, trying to figure out what the future of it is.
Yeah.
And he told me, and they've done this already, that, you know, they've already signed that number one amateur in the world. You know, this kid that played in,
I didn't know
in
that.
The British. They did. But he told me somebody told him that their strategy is going to take, like, get the NCAA champs, the U.S. amateur champs.
Oh, boy.
And be when they first turn pro.
Mm-hmm.
But... And now I go back to what Tiger was saying before the British Open about some of these young guys may never, if LIV doesn't get in the world golf rankings, and there's 54 holes, so it shouldn't, they might never play in the majors. You know, they might, you know, so he must have known then that the rumor was out that they were going to try to sign all.
What caused a lunch with Harvey?
I was in contact with him about something else, and he was going to be back in town, and I wanted to see how he'd, if he was back to his fighting weight after losing a lot of weight fighting the COVID.
And he had the long COVID?
Yeah, he's got the long haul, yeah. He said he had it for over a year, the long haul, and now he's back in full.
Good.
Full force. 89 years old, though. So.
Is he 89?
Yeah, he's 89.
Yeah. I saw Faldo signed off yesterday, right?
Yeah. No crying in golf.
No, I know that, but someone, he did, was it him or whoever threw it to him that gave the cheap shot to Norman?
I don't know. I didn't see that part.
I just saw a clip of it online saying, well, then thanks for causing Norman to choke. I didn't know if that was a live
cheap
shot.
Oh, I saw that. I did see that.
Okay.
Well, am I the only one who's used the no wonder Greg Norman wants 54-hole golf tournament joke? Am I the only one that's used that joke? Because well, just think of all the majors he's won. If they'd all been 54 holes, he would have been a lot better off. He would have won several more majors. So
well, you're talking about golf. Giants Ridge is home to two of the best golf courses in the country, the Legend and the Quarry. And right now at Giants Ridge, you can play the Legend and the Quarry on the same day, a 37-hole special through August 29 with lunch on them at the Wakuda Grill. They'll also put together tournaments for your buddies or your family and offer group golf rates for groups of eight or more. You can learn more about all of this at GiantsRidge.com. You can see the 3D course flyovers of the Legend and the Quarry at GiantsRidge.com. And if you're thinking of it as a family vacation destination, there's nearby water recreation, biking, hiking, the newest and largest lift-serve mountain bike park in the Midwest, plus dining, lodging, and much more, probably a tank up and a tank back. It's right within the state's borders. Some of the most beautiful nature in all of Minnesota, and find that out for yourself at GiantsRidge.com.
Do you know what's occurring not very far from here? A mile, maybe? A mile?
The tree climbing championship?
A mile?
A carjacking.
No. The MLS All-Star Game Wednesday night.
Oh, boy.
Really? Us against Mexico Liga.
Really?
Us against the Mexico. I don't know, Mexico's sending all their superstars, but The MLS team.
U.S. versus who?
Mexico's league. The Liga. It's a very good Liga. The Mexican
is this
league.
The team they played in the winter when it was 20
no,
below?
No, Joe. These are the all-star teams of the league teams.
Uh-huh.
What you were seeing back then was nations playing each other.
Sure.
The United States against mighty Honduras.
Oh, yeah.
And as I said, Joe, we made the – I think we already made the World Cup, right? We made the World Cup
sure.
this time. Last time, we didn't make the World Cup because we lost the decisive game to Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why do they get to have two countries?
That's right.
Why do they get to have two and we only get a little old U.S.?
We
only get one. Trinidad, they get – not only does Trinidad get Trinidad, they get Tobago, too.
That's right.
That should have never been fair.
Is it much like when, you know, the hyphenated high schools have to move up in class ranking? Shouldn't that be the case here?
Yes, I would think so.
You know, when you're
– Is that a sellout at the soccer stadium?
Oh, God, yes.
It's a big deal,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, well, they sell out virtually all their regular season games, yeah. Against various teams.
I still am wrestling with the idea of what constitutes the season. It just seems to be forever.
It goes on forever. Here's one of their big problems. When our kicks were playing and you were out there and we were all out there, they just played during the summer.
That's it.
That's when the season was.
That's right.
And we had none of these international windows
nope.
and stuff. Now you got the international window that shuts you down for 3 weeks in the middle of the summer.
Right.
It's stupid.
You know what else bugs them about soccer? When a team is playing another team and they call it a friendly.
What's that
friendly?
Mean?
Oh, he loves friendly.
I don't like friendlies.
I don't like any of their terms. What I don't really like, though, is they put the home team on the left and not the right. When you're looking at the crawl, this is America.
Right.
This is the United States of America.
Right.
The home team goes on the right. Damn it.
Yep.
This is ridiculous, and it's Putin would be in favor of having the team on the left.
Are you going to this All-Star game?
No.
Okay.
But. I wish them the best.
Because the one time you went on the light rail, that became harrowing.
Yes, it did. Yep. Yes. Yes, that's what I had to choose between
life,
death, or waiting a half hour.
Right.
And I chose the option of possible death over waiting a half hour and said, stop that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
We're going to end up turning off the smoke alarm. And the young man called me several filthy names, but then he got out of the thing and we took
Can
off.
We transition back to baseball for a brief moment?
Why not?
We didn't hear. Did you ever have a run-in with Vin Scully in your days of covering ball?
Did you ever have a chance? I had a chance to be on a table when he was in Dodger Stadium, but I never really got
there. Okay.
That's all I ever got. It was just to be near him.
Okay. Yeah, I never sat down and really talked with him.
Okay.
They told me that one of the funniest things was when Vince would tell a joke. But he always talked in the Vin voice, even when he was telling an inappropriate joke. He would he would tell it in a Vin voice, so that had to be fun.
Just think,
the guy saw Bobby Thompson's home run.
Right.
He was the backup announcer in 1951.
Yep.
And he was still doing it till, 2 years ago?
I forget who tweeted this out, Pat, but someone said, Vin Scully's first game, Jackie Robinson was the cleanup hitter. Vin Scully's last game, Yasiel Puig was the cleanup hitter. And I'm thinking, holy crap, what a career.
Yeah.
What do Vin Scully, Vince Lombardi, and Denzel Washington have in common?
Same high school, maybe?
No.
Don't know.
Same college.
Oh, that's right. Where'd they go?
Fordham.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Okay.
You were close on your initial guess.
Do you know that... I wish I had made that trip with St. Thomas this year out to New York. I wish I had made some plans. Because first they played at St. Francis in Brooklyn, which has got some gym that's ancient. And then they played Fordham. And Fordham's got their old gym that is supposedly just unbelievable. It's like a football field, and then they got a gym in there. And it's... And they actually beat St. Francis, which, was And then they got beat by Fordham, but it would have been great to see those, you know, those.
Does Fordham have a team nickname?
Rams.
The Rams.
Yes. Yeah.
And they still play basketball, don't they?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Yeah, they don't play football. They gave up football a long time. Lombardi was one of the, they had some nickname for the alignment on that team. He was a lineman about 180.
Oof.
Back then. Wow. So, anyhow, there's got to be something else that I really was thinking I had to talk about, but I can't really.
What's that in front of you?
Hey, did you make the state tournament?
We are playing the St. Patrick Irish tonight.
Oh, do you have to win?
We won yesterday. Our region got pushed back a little bit because of weather. Our game that we were supposed to play Friday night, we played yesterday. So if we win tonight, we qualify.
If you lose, then what?
If we lose, we play an elimination game, winner to state, losers done, Wednesday night against the Webster Sox.
Do you have an ace chucker ready for the Webster Sox?
We'll be ready to go.
Okay.
We'll be ready to go. Right.
You don't pitch anymore, do you?
God, no. Are you
if I were you, I'd kind of take it easy tonight because you're underdogs, right, against the St. Patty's.
We beat St. Patrick once this year.
Did you? Yeah. Okay. Hey, did their fence blow down?
No, you're thinking of Plato.
Plato.
They were a Fox 9 game, and their fence got tore
Irish up. Yard?
No, you're thinking of Plato, the Blue Jays.
Oh, they have an Irish yard, too?
I don't think so.
What the hell is an Irish yard?
The name of their stadium.
The name of a ballpark. Oh. I thought that was the name of the Green Isle ballpark, but somebody sent me a... Yard is Milroy.
Yes.
It's the second Milroy one. Yeah. I don't know if their fence got... Somebody's fence got blown.
Because we played out there in Milroy. We played out there Father's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
I already asked Joe what day he wanted to volunteer to work the concession stand at the state tournament.
Saturday.
Yeah, sure. So here's the big thing for the state tournament. I know Joe doesn't want to talk a lot about this, but what special treats do we have for the fans? Food sub. Gaylord. We have the the ham sandwich out of this world. Jordan, you have the pork burger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why don't we have it, Faribault?
I don't know.
We were told keep it simple, but come up with something unique. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have, you know, your curds. Mr. Pexa will be out there with the spotted
curds,
cow.
Okay.
And then we are going to have a specialty type of pizza item individual from Carboni's because they're our official tournament partner for the concession stand. So
slice at a time type.
No,
deal.
No.
A little.
Almost a calzone type of deal. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I don't know. I wanted something that.
I want something that's gonna pop.
Gaylord has a state tournament. They give you a smoke chop.
Yep,
they're pretty
damn
good.
Eat it right off the bone.
Like you can get at the fair.
Meat of the bone. It's fantastic. Yeah. Yes.
What's the town you are raving about with the curds?
That's Cologne. Cologne. Yep. Yes, very good curds.
In fact, the curds are so famous that Mr. Pexa has his own food truck that now travels to a lot of...
I think if I was a Cologne baseball fan, I'd begin to question Mr. Pexa's commitment to the team.
Oh, boy.
I think he's the curds and the Reuben balls, as they get better... The
team's starting to dwindle.
Is dwindling. I was out there.
He's got the Reuben balls?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Reuben balls are great.
Wow.
And the dipping sauce is great, too.
I think he's...
Is he losing focus?
They didn't make the tournament, did they?
I think they're still playing because their region got pushed back, too, because of weather.
Yeah, I was out there. They couldn't, as we used to say, they couldn't hit a bull in the ass with a banjo or a bass fiddle.
Bass fiddle.
Yeah. So, they've been having a bad year.
It's hard to believe that it begins a week from Friday. I can't believe it's...
Well, you haven't...
It's the same day, and the fair begins on Thursday?
The week after.
We're still a ways away from the fair.
So is Labor Day late again this year?
I believe so.
It's September 5th.
Okay.
This year.
Yeah, I hate... Nothing I hate worse than Labor Day on September 1st.
Don't like an early Labor Day.
Shortens up the summer.
I agree.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll be seeing you at the fair a few times.
Did you say a few times?
I did.
Okay. I think once for sure, that Monday, basically.
Yeah, because we're not working Labor Day, Joe.
Well, why Monday would you show up?
Oh, for Monday Night Sports
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the show that we're recording right now.
That's right. We'll do that at the fair.
Now he remembers. Yeah. That's right. Hey, sad to see the great Wayne Belisle passed away.
I would like to just know 50% of the Saints stories.
Yes, that's right. I have told you, as I reflect on my long career, not taking advantage of the Fighting Saints.
That's right.
Ranks very high with me. You had Sonmore.
Yep.
You had Harry Neal.
You had Shaky Walton.
You had Shaky Walton. You had Bill Butters when he was still nuts.
You had the Carlson brothers.
You had
Bruce Boudreaux.
Harpo Goldthorpe. Yep. You had the damnedest collection of guys. And I said, just fold, will you? You're driving us crazy.
They wouldn't get on a plane one time until Wayne showed up with a grocery bag full of cash.
Yes. Wayne and I think Western was their bank, right?
I think so.
I think they went to Western. They got a bag full of cash because the boys were at the airport and they weren't going to get on the plane. This is the second version of the Saints, right?
Right.
This is the second one. They weren't going to get in the plane. They're driving out. It's like the guy, the bank robbery in the comic movie with the money blowing out the car. Sonmore's stuffing cash into various envelopes for various. How much should we get him to get on the plane? Okay, you know. And they're pushing it in there, and they get like $25,000 from Western Bank. That guy, that poor guy at Western Bank, was he just always giving their money, you know, to try to keep it going. And then they got out there, and I think the punchline was they finally said, this ain't gonna. I think that was the end of it.
What restaurants was he involved with? Because his obit says he was a restaurateur.
Oh, yeah. Which ones was he? Wondering downtown where? Some good ones, I think. Did he? He didn't buy it. He wasn't in on the Gallivans after it sold.
I don't know. He was an affable sort.
Oh, God. He was a great guy. Yeah. He'd call up and started. I got some Sonmore stories out of him when Glenn died. God, he was hilarious. Yeah, great guy. And, how old was he? Early 80s?
81.
81, yeah.
I think he had some health problems.
Wayne Belisle, terrific guy. A lot of Saints stories went to the grave with him, I'll tell you that. He was just a lawyer.
Yep.
He was just the lawyer, and all of a sudden, nobody else wanted the team, and he ended up buying them, sort of, right?
kind of.
He was like, he all of a sudden was running them.
It was almost like a tractor in the family that no one wanted to take care of anymore.
He said, all of a sudden, I was in charge. What happened, you know? It was, but it was, that's back in the era when Sonmore would answer the phone. Glenn Sonmore, Minnesota Folding Saints. Oh, yeah, Wayne, we'll miss you. You were a great guy.